Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. This is very exciting. We want to welcome to KDWA Josh Priggy. His name may sound familiar. He's a 1999 graduate of Hastings High School, and he has a business called Sustridge Sustainability, and he has joined forces with our other guest, who is Paul Douglas. Paul Douglas, of course, is a former meteorologist with many places around the Twin City area and the country, and he also has a company, I'm not going to say it right, Preditix, and he also has a radio show on a radio station you might have heard of called WCCO. He's taking time away from that to join us today, so we want to welcome both of you. Thanks so much for calling in.
You bet. Thanks, Maureen.
Pleasure to be here, and it is a tough name. It's Preditix. I wish we had chosen a simpler brand name, but you know, it's done, so we got to go with it.
Well, I like the brand name of the company that the two of you have formed, and that is Climate Trends, and I'm very interested in learning more about that. But first of all, can we chat it up with our friend Josh? Because Josh, a lot has probably happened to you since you graduated from Hastings in 1999. Tell people a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Yeah, I've moved around quite a bit. Graduated in 99 from Hastings and went to Winona State University and was down there studying physical education and coaching. It was kind of my passion back then for sports, and so graduated, was doing a little teaching and coaching, and then just got more passionate about environmental issues, climate change, and sustainability, so kind of wanted to rededicate my career to that. So I found a master's program in Honolulu, studied sustainable development there, and then was fortunate enough to get hired as the first sustainability coordinator at Hawaii Pacific University. So I did that for a while and then got a job in the wine industry, which brought me to Northern California, and then started a sustainability consulting firm where I basically could move anywhere. So it was either between Minnesota or Vegas, which is where my wife is from. And we chose the warm weather, so we went to Las Vegas, but recently just moved back to Hawaii. So back in Hawaii permanently now, and doing sustainability consulting and doing this climate trends business with Paul, which I'm very excited about.
Well, I bet you are. Paul, let's you and I just chat, though. What about the places he's lived? What the heck? And the jobs he's had?
Well, I'm not in Hawaii, and I'm very envious of Josh for being in Hawaii. I think God made Hawaii for himself. But I'm here in Minnesota, and I grew up in Pennsylvania, and my home growing up was hit by a flood, a massive flood, and that got me interested. That and Boy Scouts and some great teachers got me interested in weather. Went to Penn State, got a meteorology degree, hopped around the country, spent some time in New York and Chicago, but most of my career has been in media in Minnesota at Care 11 and WCCO-TV. And I've always had a business on the side, always been fascinated with finding opportunities and trying to assemble a team and focusing on solving problems. And so Climate Trends is really focused on helping businesses make smarter decisions, whether it's where do we build a facility, where do we invest our money, where are we vulnerable, based on climate. And it's something I've noticed for the past 25 years. I didn't set out to become an advocate or activist for climate change, but I noticed that the weather was increasingly playing out of tune. And that's what kind of pulled me into climate science. And I realized that, yeah, it is happening. It's real. And now a lot of businesses are saying, yeah, it's happening. It's real. What do we do?
When you say that you noticed that the weather was changing, I honestly don't really remember from year to year, but when I think back when I was a kid, I sort of thought that winters were colder and longer, but is that just my memory?
Oh, no, it's absolutely showing up, and anybody who spends any time outdoors, I think, will vouch for the changes that are underway. The winters tend to be shorter. There are exceptions to every rule, Maureen. Every now and then we get spanked, but it seems to be the exception and not the rule. Most winters now are trending milder. The snow can be very erratic. Some winters we get a lot of snow, other winters we get very little snow. We're seeing more rain and ice in January and February. That almost never happened 30, 40, 50 years ago. You could count on snow. more flooding. You know, we're seeing this increase as you warm up the atmosphere, you increase these extreme rainfall events, and the DNR has documented the increase in these extreme rains. So it doesn't show up every day, every week, but with greater frequency, Minnesotans are noticing the changes that are taking place.
And do you think that people notice it around the country, or let's say like in a San Diego or probably even in Hawaii where the weather is lovely all the time, do you notice the subtle changes there too? Are there changes?
I think so. Certainly San Diego, people are seeing the water levels rising. I mean, that's not a climate model. That's not a prediction. That's just looking out and measuring the sea level that is rising. As you warm up the oceans, as water warms, it expands, sea levels continue to rise. But I think to your point, certain areas are more vulnerable in the short term. Anybody living near the ocean, you're seeing more frequent coastal flooding. The hurricanes recently have been more intense as they come ashore, producing heavier rainfall amounts. Look at Harvey and Houston. I mean, 60 inches of rain, that's unheard of. I mean, growing up, a typical hurricane would drop 10, 15 inches, maybe. And now you got some of these hurricanes that are dumping out 30, 40, 60 inches of rain. So increasingly, the weather is supersized, and we're seeing it not just in Minnesota or the United States, but really worldwide, we're seeing these changes. Weather that would have occurred naturally is now stronger. The storms last longer. They're more intense, whether it's floods or droughts. Again, it's not your imagination. It is a trend. It's not a fluke. It is a trend.
So how did the two of you meet, please?
Well, I was out at a conference, actually, at the Philadelphia Eagles Stadium, Lincoln Financial Field, for the Green Sports Alliance Summit, which is a big gathering of all the professional sports organizations and many of the teams and college athletics. They get together once a year to talk about sustainability and talk about climate change and how it's impacting them and how they're addressing it. So I was there doing a podcast. I actually have a podcast as well, and just attending the conference. And I met Paul Douglas's colleague at Predictix. And we both kind of had an interest in this climate scenario analysis work that we're doing with climate trends. So we had some discussions over the course of several months, and we found out there was probably a really good opportunity for me to bring my corporate sustainability expertise and partner that with their weather and climate expertise and provide this service for corporations to address the issue of climate change. And so that's kind of how we met and formed this business.
So the term sustainability, what does that mean, please?
Sustainability is really about operating in a way that allows future generations to continue to operate in the same way. Thinking about future generations and ensuring that they're not limited with resources or that they're not having to face catastrophic climate change issues. It's really just preserving, it's conserving, and operating in a way that society is preserving life and resources for future generations. And there's also a social component as well, promoting diversity, equity, inclusion, gender equality, and all of these things to ensure that not just the environment is sustainable for the future, but society as well.
So how was your company put together then, and what are some of the things that you are focused on?
Josh brings such an important component to the table. A lot of businesses increasingly have to disclose their climate risk to potential investors so that investors understand the lay of the land and where a specific company may have additional risk. And then you ask yourself as an investor, is this a risky investment based on where the climate seems to be going, or is this a risk I'm willing to take? And that's something that Josh really focuses on. We work with climate scientists. I am not a climate scientist. On a good day, I'm a meteorologist, but I have a network of climate scientists that I've worked with over the years, and we leverage some of these climate scientists along with high-resolution climate models, and we work with these businesses to identify their pressure points, areas of their business that are risky, where are they vulnerable, and we talk about the trends. The climate models pretty much agree, not always, but there's a fair amount of consensus as to what the trends will be for solar radiation or wind or flooding or sea level rise. So that way businesses then have a better understanding of where they need to reinvest, what they need to fix, and how they can put their best foot forward with investors.
So can you give us kind of a real world example of that?
Yeah, you bet. So, you know, we previously worked with a large renewable energy company who has facilities all across the United States. In fact, they have a lot of community solar throughout the state of Minnesota. And what we did was we looked at several locations around the U.S. where they have a lot of operations or where they're thinking about future developments and looking at different climate scenarios in the future. So we create basically three different scenarios. What does the future look like in 2050 if we're able to surpass the Paris Climate Accord and limit global temperatures to 1.5 degrees or less? What is going to have to happen to achieve that future, and what will the climate impacts be of a future like that? And then we create a couple more scenarios. One would be maybe a 2-degree rise. What does the future look like at that point? And then another would be a business as usual. So if we don't make any changes, temperatures increase to maybe 3-4 degrees by 2050, what are the different transitional risks? So changes in technology, changes in government policy, changes in consumer behavior in each of those scenarios. And then we look at the physical climate risks. So for the renewable energy company, it would be, what are the changes in solar radiation, cloud cover, precipitation, wind speeds, extreme weather events, flooding? And we look at all of these different parameters for each region where they want to focus the work to let them know these are some potential troubles and problems that we might have to address in the future so that they can be prepared for that. And then that also allows them, as Paul mentioned, to report to their investors. Something that came out in 2017 is called the Task Force on Climate-Related Financial Disclosures. And so the financial community got together and developed what's called TCFD, a number of disclosures that they recommend these large companies report on, such as what are your climate risks, how do you address them, do you use climate scenario modeling, and what are you doing to be more resilient and more strategic to address these issues.
You work a lot with businesses. What can we as private citizens do to help sustain our world for future generations?
Well, you know, there's the everyday things that you can do, which we all know about: recycling, changing out your light bulbs to LED, looking into renewable energy for your homes. These are all great things that we should all be doing. I think the bigger way we can have impact, though, is looking at the larger picture and how can we help create larger change, whether it's through government policy or through large corporations. Large corporations and governments are really the ones that, when they make the decisions to change something, that's how we get large-scale change, and really that's what's needed to address these pressing climate issues. So supporting companies that share your values and beliefs, supporting those companies that are addressing climate change, they are being responsible, they're reducing their emissions, they're trying to get plastic out of their products, supporting those good companies like that and being advocates and being vocal for the change that you want to see with those companies and with your government is what I always think are some of the best actions you can take.
Josh, when you were in college, you said you were headed down a different career path. What was it that changed your focus on sustainability? Because I think that's something that's pretty interesting for somebody young to all of a sudden say, you know what, this is really important to me.
Yeah, it's really like kind of what Paul always says. It's understanding and paying attention to the science, really. You know, I was starting to watch more news, more global news, and just being more aware of what was happening in the world. And that led me to understand what was happening to the environment. And then I dug deeper into that and started to learn about climate change and the science behind it and the increasing CO2 levels and what that means, not just for the polar bears in the Arctic, but for every region around the world, how it affects agriculture and our food supply chain and increasing in temperatures and sea level rise in coastal communities. And I just realized that it kind of surpassed my passion for sports. I became much more passionate about the environment and realized I really wanted to be a part of the solution, and that's kind of why I rededicated my career to that.
That's a pretty cool story, don't you think, Paul?
Oh, absolutely. Everything Josh said resonates with me as well. I think it's just a function of paying attention, connecting the dots. I tell people, I talk to a lot of churches around the state. I'm a Christian. I think God calls on all of us, regardless of our faith or lack of faith. I mean, we're called to be good stewards. We've been loaned something amazing, and I think we do have an obligation to pass this on to future generations. The world is warming. It's not ending. And a warmer world for Minnesotans sounds pretty good, and there will be some benefits, but we just need to keep our eyes wide open and come up with policies and new technologies, frankly, to deal with these emerging threats. At the end of the day, though, I'm pretty optimistic, Maureen. Young people especially are taking this very seriously, and the arc of technology, the fact that solar and wind now cheaper than coal and gas, even natural gas, and the prices continue to drop for clean, renewable energy. Even if you still think that climate change is a hoax, it's an Al Gore thing, you're still going to sign up for wind and solar because at the end of the day, it's going to be cheaper. Everybody wants more energy. We want to pay less for it. The only thing I would add to what Josh said is I think it's important to vote for representatives who still have a respect for science, whether it's at a local level, a state level, a national level. I think our politicians should be up and respect the latest science. When we ignore the scientists, bad things often result. So I would just leave it at that.
Let's leave it at that is right. We want to thank our guest today, Josh Prigge. He, of course, is a 1999 grad of Hastings High School, and we're thrilled that he joined us today to tell us not only about his company, but also about the company that he has joined forces with, Paul Douglas. We're grateful that you took the time to call in today too, Paul. The company is called Climate Trends. You can visit them online at climatetrends.com, and we will post this information on our KDWA Facebook page and our website. Paul, how's your job at WCCO before we go?
Hey, it depends who you ask.
Oh, brother. I'm asking you.
I'm having fun. I got my start, Maureen, in radio when I was in high school. I love radio, and I will continue to prefer radio until my dying days. I just love the freedom, the independence. CCO Radio has been great. They don't tell me what to do. If they don't like something, they might mention it. But I love the freedom that radio affords, and I've got, you know, weather and climate businesses on the side. We have amazing people that work for each company. But I think just like you, I look forward to every day. And what are we going to put on the radio? What are people talking about, thinking about, and how can we tell great stories? Radio is resilient. We've got all these other ways to get information, but people keep coming back to radio, and I find that reassuring.
We want to thank our guests, Josh Prigge, Paul Douglas. The company is called Climate Trends. Visit them online at climatetrends.com. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.